Yeah. You have to own a lot of things to be happy. How about this one? It's important to be happy all of the time. Slightly more tricky. I think we'd like to be, wouldn't we? Being busy is a mark of importance. Anyone done a job at some point where that's been the case? Life should be fair. Now that's tricky, isn't it? Because we'd all say it should be fair, but actually we all see it isn't. We'll think about that a bit more. The more qualified you are, the more valuable you are to others. It's definitely something the world tries to tell us, isn't it? And finally, you need to be strong. Well, I have to say, I fail probably on all seven of those. And I think I'm pleased about that. And I hope that if you recognize you've fallen on those as well, that you have hope, because you know that it's not about that. Real life is not about that. And our reading today is taken from the second letter that Paul wrote to his friend Timothy. And it starts at chapter 2. Timothy was Paul's apprentice. He was writing from prison, most likely in Rome, and he tells his friend to persevere in the truth. Aware of his situation, Paul wanted to make sure that Timothy could take on the baton when he handed it over to him and was no longer around. And he writes about effective leadership of the church and the importance of sound teaching. And of course, this, the main driver of his effort was making Jesus known. He wanted Jesus to be known. So this isn't a letter just for people that lead churches, although there's a lot that can be said and taken from that. But it's a letter that we can all take from in our lives today. So let's take a look at it, shall we? So, you then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It's the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share in the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. So in this part of his letter, Paul gives four discipleship-focused duties to his friend. Tim was to be a Christ-like model. Previously, I've heard of Timothy's tasks described as four occupations. So job number one, teacher. Think for a moment about the things that you know and the skills and gifts that you have. Did you know them from birth? Nope. Or were you taught them by somebody who you came to trust as your teacher? In life, it's not possible to be a teacher unless we're firstly a student. I remember being inspired by learning about history from a teacher who shared his love for his subject so much that my friends and I were so on fire after his lessons that we talk about the things that he taught us. His enthusiasm was contagious. Have you ever come across someone like that in your life? I also had a teacher who used to encourage me and guide me and support me as I was learning how to play the piano. As he encouraged me, he helped me to feel good about the skills that I'd grown, not to make me look towards what I hadn't got. He had patience and he helped me. So who through your life has helped you grow in your faith? I wonder who has helped you grow in your faith? It'd be great if you could maybe just share that with somebody near you. And if you haven't had somebody that's helped you grow in your faith, then say that too. So who has helped you grow in your faith? Thank you so much for sharing that. So it's interesting, isn't it? So let's just raise your hand if you've shared something that somebody to do with or involved in a church has at some point shared something that you felt really helpful in your faith that's helped you just think, oh, actually, yeah, Jesus is alive. Is that the case? Yeah? Yeah, lots of nods and sort of smiles and some people still reflecting on it, and that's good as well, because in fact I think we can say thank you for those people, can't we? Because they have really, I don't know about you, but in my case I recognize somebody who gave so much time to help me to sort of just gently take a step at a time into that relationship with Jesus. And the biggest thing that somebody once said was, and it was said to another guy, he said to me, Paul, it's not a case of going over a line and having your passport stamped. Sometimes you go over the line and then you come back again, you don't realize you've actually crossed it. And that really helped me realize that I didn't have to have everything sorted before inviting Jesus to be my friend. So Tim had been Paul's student. He'd been taught by loads, and also now as a pastor and teacher himself, he'd been entrusted with helping God's people grow in their faith. And they grew in their faith together as they helped others to come to know Jesus too. It's not possible to do that by instruction alone. We learn how to grow in our faith from perseverance of another and seeing people live out their faith so that we can grow in ours. And so to grow in faith, we need two things. Firstly, it's essential to hear the truth about Jesus. We've got so many resources available to us now to help us know Jesus today. Bible translations, life group materials, recordings of talks, the internet, and so on. It's also possible, very easy actually, to hear untruths as well, especially from the internet. So we need to be really careful. And I think actually today, people are a lot more discerning in what they see on the internet. In Tim's day, he would most likely have learned directly from Paul and Paul's letters. Timothy would need to make sure he taught others faithfully, passing on the truth that he himself had heard. Tim had discovered the truth, and now he too had a duty to faithfully pass on that good news to others, and he was bursting to do so. You and I have heard the truth. Do we feel we're called to do the same? Is that something that we feel we can share? Because if we don't share it, then how is the next generation going to come on to know Jesus? How are those that don't know him yet, even in our generation, and generations that are older than ourselves going to do that? The world tells us to avoid politics and religion, doesn't it? Jesus told his friends to go and make disciples. And in fact, he didn't avoid politics and religion at all. He said, go and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That call is for you and for me as well. And it's understandable that those who don't know Jesus would suggest that we keep our faith and our beliefs to ourselves. They simply don't appreciate the consequences of doing that. If we've engaged even a little in the teachings of Jesus, we know through God's word that the word we're entrusted with is a matter of life or death. And that doesn't mean, however, that it's all on you or on me. You and I aren't the Saviour, and Jesus is God, and he goes before us in everything, and it's him that does the saving. All we need to do is faithfully step out and be willing to do the bit that he calls us to. I wonder if in that danger, it's so easy that we feel when we share something, it's easy to use that as a reason to avoid. We're worried about what they'll say or what they'll think. But actually, God goes before us in all things. We think, I don't know about you, but I've thought in the past things like, I'll do it later. She'll think I'm odd if I say something and mention Jesus. I don't want to offend someone. If they wanted to know Jesus, then they'd find out for themselves or gone to the church before now. Or somebody else will tell them. Now, it is going to be the case that we are going to miss opportunities. But let's not beat ourselves up at that. And even the word, the sort of suggestion of the E, the evangelism word, the word of the idea of mentioning Jesus to others, might bring a real defensive feeling in you. And actually, what I want to say now is actually, if you feel that, don't beat yourself up about it, but recognize it. Because it is normal to want to protect ourselves from things that we see as dangers. But what I'm saying is, we don't need to see Jesus as a danger to others. And in fact, the enemy would have us think that we couldn't share him or shouldn't share him, or that something will happen. Because actually, in most cases, people have a lot of grace to listen to the views of others, especially in today's world. So if you've had those thoughts, then join the club, because I've had them too. The world really doesn't want to hear about him. But people are attracted to Jesus when they see that fruit in our lives, when they see the fruit of the Spirit of God at work in our hearts. And so we can actually share Jesus in very gentle ways in the places that we're in next week. While not always the case, people are more likely to be open to hearing about Jesus when they see the fruit in our lives. And if they're not, it's usually, and quite often, not always the case, that something has happened in the past that is building part of that decision to know Jesus. But all we do is share faithfully, gently, in the situation we are, whilst not being weird. And then what we'll find is that God will perhaps send two or three other people over many different years to that person. Yeah? Who would say that a number of people have had some part in their faith journey over their life? Yeah. And you know what? That's really great, because we won't look at the person that told us initially about Jesus as being the Savior. It's great that so many other people are involved, because what it does is it takes it away from me. And we recognize that it's Jesus, it's his Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And if we believe that, if we truly believe that, then do we feel an excitement about sharing that faith with others? Timothy didn't have the Bible as we have it today in front of him. Although Paul shared his experience of Jesus and what he'd been handed down from him and from the disciples to his friend, the truth had in turn transformed Timothy's life. And just by being kind and friendly to somebody when others are unkind, when people know you're a follower of Jesus, they will see there's something different about somebody that knows the Lord. So job number two, a soldier. Life was a campaign to share truth about Jesus. Soldiers need to focus their minds on the task that they have, not being sidetracked by distractions. Now, there were Roman codes of how soldiers worked, and the key thing was that they were forbidden from engaging in military service and civil service. They couldn't engage in civil occupations. If they were a soldier, that was it. That was their job. A soldier was only to be a soldier, and likewise, Paul was saying that a follower of Jesus should first and foremost have the occupation of being a follower of Jesus as the center of their lives. The world says, have your faith, but keep it at a distance and keep it very much to yourself. God's word tells us our faith in Jesus needs to be central to who we are, and in that way, in the way that we live our lives. Today's world tells us to build our identities around our lifestyle choices. But God's word tells us that being a follower of Jesus is our central, most important identity. The foundational part of who we are is to be a follower of Jesus. Doing this helps us to be careful not to be driven by worldly things or church stuff as well. To be driven is dangerous. Let's live our lives as people that are called by Jesus. That doesn't mean that we live in a religious bubble. What we're called to is live Christ-like lives in the world, shining Jesus into those places, sharing with people our lives and helping them to come to know him. We live lives that are obedient to God's call and his word, walking in faith and trust, accepting that we can't completely understand God's ways. The Lord said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." That trust will mean that we make some sacrifices to live life for God, ones that might not make sense to the world. And in those sacrifices, contrary to what the world says, we actually live life to the full. So job number three, an athlete. Is anyone feeling exhausted already? Yeah? It's interesting, isn't it? Because there is that part of us, isn't there? There's that part of us that is in the world, and we are in the world, and it's good to be in the world because the Lord created it. But I don't know about you, but I find that the world just gradually has these sort of this effect on me where more and more onion layers come over me. But actually what God's word does is it gets rid of those. And sometimes it doesn't sit comfortably. But actually we know that when we allow that onion layer to be peeled off, that we're closer to living the lives in the ways that God calls us. And so back to the athlete then. Number three, Paul tells Tim that in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. I've heard it described as dedication of a person's life to excellence in the contest. That's the contest of life. Now, I think I've shared before, I love road biking, and I use a training app called Strava. Is there anyone else that uses it? It's absolutely brilliant, except it tells you that your fitness goes up and then you feel you have to get and keep going. But you realize, especially now I'm 45, that there comes a point where your fitness just has to stop going up. But the thing is that I can track my heart rate, I can track the speed that I'm pedaling, also known as the cadence. I can also track power, and also it will tell me how fit I am, as I said earlier. And if I get sick, my fitness plummets. It just goes completely down. And sometimes I'll start training again and it will take ages in order to come back up. But the thing is that it's easy to get obsessed by those things and to look at those things and to try to be the best at everything we do. Now, I'm quite obviously not a pro. I'm no Mark Cavendish by a long way. But if I was to concentrate my everything on getting to my peak fitness, by refining every part of my life to do that, then I know that I would improve even more. The thing is, I tend to focus on things like improving on my bike. What Paul is saying is that we need to apply that same, you know, desire to get better at the sports that we do. We need to do that with Jesus too. We need to focus. What Paul is saying is that we need to focus our whole life on our faith. Hi, Mark. And one writer said, "There's no such thing as a part-time Christian." So, how's your faith fitness? How are you doing at the moment as an athlete? Is your faith something that you are exercising? Are you feeling frazzled? Have you given this any thought recently? Is it something that, you see, sometimes we get so busy in life that we actually lose focus. I return to the Strava app very frequently. In fact, every time I have any kind of exercise, I look to see if my fitness has gone up. Do we look to God's word? Do we look to our life groups, to our friends, those that have helped us in our faith, just to help us take stock of where we are? And finally, job number four, a farmer. Paul said, "It's the farmer who does the work, who ought to have the first share of the crops, who here is growing their own food at some point." You're showing everyone. I hope you get some nectarines. You'd probably have to get some kind of a heater to do that, wouldn't you? The sun. We'll see what happens this year. That'll be interesting. So we have that opportunity, don't we, to grow crops. And if we do, it's really lovely. For me, I think I'd be really rubbish at it. But I love planting things. But for me, I love to see them grow really quickly. So I could plant them and see them grow immediately into a tree or something. That'd be fantastic. We've got a plum tree that's now 3 years old. And in fact, we got one plum last year and it tasted rancid. It was horrible. We had enough. We actually had one for every single one of us, all five of us, and they one by one got pecked by the birds. You see, in farming, nothing good happens quickly. And in a similar way, as we walk alongside people and share our faith, they grow to come to know Jesus. Being alongside people takes time and requires sacrifice. A sacrifice that if you think about the person you thought about earlier on, or the people, they would have made a sacrifice quite often in some way. We are on a lifelong journey. We're not going to be the complete finished article, and actually, the good news is we never will be, because the finished article is Jesus. Jesus is the one we aspire to, and we will never be him. Farmers are ready 24/7, and similarly, the Lord wants us to be ready, with a faith that isn't just a Sunday morning faith, but one that goes with us throughout the week, wherever we go. As the teacher passes on knowledge for the next generation, the soldier fights for the victory of the battle, the athlete strives to win the crown, and the farmer is encouraged by the promise of the crop to come. And so, friends, today, what is it? Maybe one of those four areas. Maybe something that's been prompted to your mind from that. What is it that you and I can keep our minds focused on this week? Jesus. He is the one we can focus our minds on. As we come to Lent, where we might take something on, give something up. The danger with that is we begin to feel that it's all on us. That we feel if we just do a bit better in one of these areas, that God will love us a little bit more. That's not the case. You couldn't make the Lord love you any more than he already does. There's nothing you could sacrifice that would make him love you more or less. But what the Lord wants us to do is to keep our eyes upon him, upon Jesus. One writer said that followers of Jesus can be certain that after the effort of the Christian life, there comes the joy of heaven. And the greater the struggle, the greater the joy. Persecuted believers all the way around the world, all those willing to sacrifice self to make Jesus known, those who seek to live lives for Jesus will receive the greater joy of eternal life. And we see how the rules of the world teaches us the ways that we should be, teaches us what we ought to do, how we ought to think. And we realize through Jesus that that's no more than a feeble frame. There's no security in it. There's no security from the world that we can set our hopes on. But the life in Jesus that we have is the life that is to live life to the full. And friends, at all times, we can have hope and we can invest in Jesus. And so as you go into this week, how might you just keep your eyes on Jesus? Let's just keep that as the one thing we focus on. And allow the Lord to speak to us. And allow his word to teach us and to grow us more into the identity of the one that has saved us already. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray, come amongst us. You are so welcome here. We want to worship you. And we recognize, firstly, our own brokenness. Your word wasn't given to us to condemn us, but to set us free. And we pray, Lord, that as we reflect on these things, that you would help us to know that. I think there might be some people here that feel a bit like a cricketer standing in front of a wicket, that trying to defend your faith in some area of your life. And you're there with the bat, you're faithfully there waiting for the balls to be thrown. And you're defending your faith, which is the wickets. But I think the Lord might be saying, walk away from the wicket. Because it's keeping you in one place. And you don't need to defend your faith. Just be free to walk around the pitch to all the different players and just be you. And that the Lord will work through you in that situation. If that particular thing speaks to you, could you have a chat with me later? Because I'd love to pray with you. And if you'd rather not, that's fine. Find somebody that you'd like to pray with, or just be with the Lord in that yourself. But Lord, we just pray that you would help us to see those faith occupations as being a helpful framework to help us to grow in faith together.